It is just past 4 o'clock, which means it is time for our classic pick of the week and time to welcome my regular guest. Chris Carey volunteers his time each week to select and research our classic picks of the week and then comes in to share his findings. And he picked out a fun holiday collection for this week. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good.
So yeah, this is not, I don't think it's a classic in our normal classic sense of the word, but it's a pretty good Christmas compilation, as Christmas compilations go. It's several different artists on this. New Wave Christmas was released in 1996, so 23 years ago. It was one of several New Wave compilations titled Just Can't Get Enough New Wave Hits of the 80s. There were 15 of these released.
Popularity of New Wave.
Yeah, and in general, they're pretty good compilations. I've got a few of them at home, and there's some kind of obscure stuff that, you know, from bands that had one song that was amazing that you don't necessarily want to buy the whole album anyway. So, and then after those 15 compilations that were released in 94, they released a few extra ones that were like the New Wave Dance Hits, New Wave Women, New Wave Halloween, and this one, New Wave Christmas.
And it's Rhino, right?
Rhino put it out.
Yeah, see, and that's part of, I think that's part of the reason why it's probably great, is they really care about curation over there. Like, Rhino is a bunch of actual music dorks.
No, Rhino, all of Rhino's compilations I've ever gotten.
DJ El Toro has written liner notes for some of their reissues.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. So, most of these tracks were actually remastered from the originals, and some of the tracks in this whole series, they're hard to find anywhere else. They were put together by David McLeese and Steve Poltrack, who are kind of famous, well-known A&R guys who've worked with several different labels over the years. And production credit goes to Bill Inglot on this, and he's kind of a guy that got known for remastering older recordings and making them sound newer, or I guess a little bit fuller with all the new equipment. He's done remasters for Ray Charles, the Bee Gees, Ramones, Aretha Franklin, Otis Redding, Monkees, Booker T, and the MGs, among others. So he's worked on a lot of really kind of important recordings. This particular compilation consists mainly of some relatively unknown original tracks by some well-known new wave and indie acts, notably Thanks for Christmas, which on the actual album, they're called the Three Wise Men, but it's really XTC. And it's the only, you can't find this song anywhere else. This is the only album you
excellent.
Can find
hey,
it.
Oh, excellent. Hey, I will always take an XTC rarity.
Yeah, I love XTC. Yeah. And actually, this is a really good song. We'll be playing it later this week.
Excellent.
Also a song called Christmas Day by Squeeze that was on a couple other compilations. Santa Claus by Throwing Muses. And of course, Kristen Hirsch was just in here with you.
She sure was.
A couple of weeks ago, and she's pretty cool. Anyway, that Santa Claus was originally on their third release, Hunk Papa, that came out in 1989. And then Santa's Beard by the Mighty Giants, which was on their sophomore release, Lincoln. And then Merry Xmas, which is actually, it was kind of an early 90s band called Sun 60, which is kind of funny that this is on here, but it's a pretty good song too. And then the compilation also has a couple of well-known Christmas originals. Of course, Fairy Tale of New York, which gets played everywhere on Christmas. It was
the Pogues.
Yeah, it was originally on the Pogues LP, If I Should Fall from the Grace of God, which is generally considered one of their best. I really do like that record. This is actually their best known and best selling single. Out of all the stuff that the Pogues did, this has outsold everything else. And it took them nearly 2 years to write this record. And it almost every year since it's released, it makes it into the top 20 in the UK.
Maybe that's
December.
How he finally got his teeth fixed. Enough royalties from the.
Maybe so. But it was actually, and I didn't know this, it was based on a 1973 novel by James Patrick Donlevy called A Fairy Tale of New York.
So I didn't know that.
2,000 Miles is also on this, which is also kind of a famous Christmas song that is not a Christmas carol. That, of course, was done by the Pretenders originally on Learning to Crawl in 1984. Most people interpret this as kind of being two, lovers apart at Christmas time, But in actuality, this song is kind of written by Chrissie Hynde about a former Pretenders, the former Pretenders bassist, Pete Farden, who in 1982, basically, the rest of the band decided they had to fire him because his drug abuse was so bad. Mm. And within a few months of them firing him, he died from an overdose. And so, I mean, this and actually the whole, most of the album of Learning to Crawl, at least in some kind of subtle way,
is dealing with that event.
Yeah, which, you know, obviously profoundly affected them, and they all felt really guilty about this. And I think that might be why, and it never occurred to me until I read this, that, you know, most of the early Pretenders records are really a year apart, except right between their 1982 album and then Learning to Crawl, which is 84, which almost took
interesting. Yeah. And that also gives new meaning to Learning to Crawl.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's also some several takes on classic Christmas carols. There's a little-known band called Miracle Legion, who is kind of New Wave band. I don't know why I had a hard time saying New England.
New England New Wave.
But they do a take on Little Drummer Boy that's really pretty good. And then Los Lobos does a version of instrumental version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer called Rudolph the Manic Reindeer. And it's a pretty good instrumental, and it never appeared on any Los Lobos album. So that you can only kind of get that here too.
Interesting. I don't usually put them in the new wave category, but sure.
Well, this is a literal a liberal interpretation, not a literal interpretation.
And, room for everyone
and then
the holidays.
The last song that I wanted to talk about, which is probably one of the most famous on the album, is the Peace on Earth / Little Drummer Boy that David Bowie and Bing Crosby did. For, you know, most people listen to this are going to know who David Bowie is, obviously. If you listen to KXCI, you know who David Bowie is. But some of our younger listeners might not be that familiar with Bing Crosby. In the 70s, he was super famous. I mean, he had the huge comedy, movie, and musical career from the 30s through the 60s that was pretty... I mean, he's about as famous as you could get. And
he's like Childish Gambino.
He was just like Childish Gambino. And but anyway, so
I'm glad that you got that. I was kidding.
Yeah, yeah, no. But anyway, so that the so he was super famous at the time, and they were Bing Crosby, especially in the 60s and going into the 70s, he would almost every year do a Christmas special. And in 1977, this duet was on Bing Crosby's Merry Old Christmas, which was the very last TV special that Bing Crosby did. It was recorded in 79, and recorded in September of 77. So this was actually in between Bowie's recording of Low and Hero. So he came from, when he was staying in Berlin at the time, he came over to the States to be on this TV special. And he first did it not because he was that super interested in being on a TV special, but his mother was a fan of Bing Crosby.
Aww, that's
and he
sweet.
Wanted to do that because his mom loved Bing Crosby
that's
so much.
That's darling. I love that. I always kind of wondered how that happened. So if that was that's his motivation. That's
yeah.
Lovely.
And so, and Crosby at the time, he didn't know much about David Bowie. And, you know, in the late 70s, Bowie had become famous, but not to the level of fame that he got in the 80s.
Right.
But it was, he did like David Bowie. It was said that Bing Crosby said he was a good, clean cut kid with a fine voice.
Oh,
yeah. But
in
anyway,
1977 David Bowie.
He didn't look like he did in the early 70s.
Yeah,
he was a little bit better.
Yeah.
But this single duet with Bing Crosby is one of David Bowie's best-selling singles, and it has become a Christmas standard in the UK, the US, and Canada. And the Washington Post is cited saying one of the most successful duets in all of Christmas music history.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, all right then. I've always liked it.
Yeah.
I have oddly vivid memories of seeing this on television too.
Well, and the crazy thing is that Bing Crosby, just 5 weeks after this was recorded, died. And so this was...
Oh, just like a month later?
Month later. So he, by the time this aired on TV in December, Bing Crosby had already been gone for a couple of years.
And I wonder if that's why, because I remember seeing it, and I also remember it feeling like a big deal, like my parents were like, this is a big deal, and that's probably why.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I mean, everybody thought, Crosby at the time was 74, and everybody thought he was pretty spry, and he was.
Yeah.
He actually, He actually, just before he died, he golfed 18 holes, and the last words he said before his heart attack was, he said, "That was a great game of golf, fellas," and then he died.
Wow.
Yeah. And of course, you know, and now, of course, David Bowie's gone too. He died on January 10th, 2016. So it kind of has a little bit more poignancy when you kind of know. But I love the fact that Bowie did this because
his mama. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's lovely.
I already liked him a lot. I like him even more now.
Yeah, it's always nice to find yet another reason to love David Bowie. I'm talking with Chris Carey about our classic pick. New Wave Hits came out 23 years ago.